Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Wouldn't it be nice to be able to spend an evening learning about things that really matter? It's such a huge world and there's so much going on. Some of it good, some of it not so good. But there's something about getting the truth that gives us all a sense that we do indeed have hope for helping to restore and make better this wonder of life and diversity that is our home. That's where things are going, and Channel GTV is forging ahead for you. That's coming up when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News. Continuing our discussion about the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival that's happening in Nevada City, January 12th through the 14th, Nevada City, California. We're talking with Michael Schoenfeld, who's the Community Outreach Coordinator for Channel GTV. Michael, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thank you, Sydney. Great to be here.
Michael, first of all, let's talk about what ChannelG.TV is and what your mission is.
We are a nonprofit media company, and we document the work of grassroots nonprofit organizations from around the world that are engaged in environmental, social, and health-related projects. We produce five-minute films about their work, and we work in three ways. We film it ourselves when we can. We assemble the B-roll that a lot of nonprofits have, but it's not put together. And often we cut down professionally done films, and we cut it to 5 minutes. So we're pretty much operating and distributing these films to television, film festivals, on websites, our own website as well, channelg.tv. And in the future, we want to build curriculum for schools, K-12, around these projects. Pretty much want to reach the youth out there. There's so many positive things happening, and most people have no idea.
It's so good to hear you say that there are so many positive things happening, because I think that's really a message that has to get out there. And those of us who are working in the media trying to get the information out about what is happening and what we can do have kind of a challenge, because it sometimes is difficult to fight against all of the stories of disaster and destruction and other things. But it sounds as if you're really putting together quite a spectrum of different messaging. You're providing 9 films at the festival. Why don't you go ahead and give us an overview of what people will see when they come to the film festival from Channel GTV?
You know, we have 9 films, like you said, at this year's Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival, and it's a real honor for us to be included. This is the largest environmental film festival in North America, as far as I can tell.
First of all, what do you think is your most impactful film? There's different messaging that's coming out, but probably there are some that really you feel have an impact.
You know, I'll say there's two. I have to tell you about two that come to mind, because they're happening right now. And a lot of these environmental issues, they're really media issues. If people found out that they were happening, we could win these things. One right, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Paul Watson and his crew are in Antarctica right now, attempting to stop the Japanese whaling fleet, which is operating illegally inside a designated Southern Hemisphere whale sanctuary. They're intending on killing 1,000 whales. They did last year. Greenpeace was there along with Sea Shepherd, and they couldn't stop them. This year, Greenpeace will not be there, and it's only Sea Shepherd. I'd have to say this is one of the most important issues there is, because Japan is violating international marine conservation laws. They're violating the United Nations World Charter on Nature. And there's no enforcement of these rules and regulations, and it's only Sea Shepherd and Paul Watson doing this. And he is also up on the ice in Canada every year trying to stop the baby seals. 300,000 baby seals are killed every year in Canada. He's busy. Next summer he's going to Iceland to stop their proposed whaling program.
How in the world do you cover what Paul Watson does? Because he puts his life on the line, literally.
Yeah,
and his
amazing.
ship was rammed last year. You know, I mean, it's quite an amazing story. Do you cover that in 5 minutes?
You know, every single one of our films is an hour-long story, easy. Except we're breaking it down to the length of a music video, the length of the attention span of a lot of young people today.
I appreciate that.
And a long-term goal for Channel G is we want to have a slot on the dial. There's 300-plus stations when you turn on the television or networks, and there is nothing about the environment and certainly nothing about the people who are in cases, taking their lives in their hands to defend animals, defend the earth, defend indigenous people.
Isn't that just frustrating and bizarre? When you think about the importance and the relevance of the environment and nature right now, the fact that there is nothing available. We have the Nature Channel, we have the Discovery Channel, but in terms of this focus, which is literally critical to life, I so much applaud you for that perspective.
For every problem, and there are vast and varied complex problems facing us today, so certainly with the environment, there are people and there are organizations dealing with it. It is amazing. I feel like I have one of the best jobs in the world because as Channel G's outreach community coordinator, I am constantly meeting and talking with and finding groups and organizations that are doing something, constantly running into passionate, dedicated people who are committed to making this world a better place, and it's really inspiring. So Channel G is set up to strengthen the work of all these activists and nonprofit grassroots organizations, and we've set up the format where we will create these 5-minute films and distribute them to television, internet, and film festivals. And it's true, the media landscape today, it's a tough nut to crack. But they're going to crack. I mean, I'm finding that people are hungry for positive information, and people are hungry for knowing how they can help and what they can do. And it's been an incredible journey for us at Channel G. Like I said, we're a nonprofit organization ourselves, and the doors are opening to us and the work that we do in so many ways. And I just want to say being part of the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival is just an honor for us.
Well, give us a sense you're presenting 9 different films. Why don't you go ahead and introduce us to more of your offerings there so that people get a sense of really what you're trying to accomplish.
Another really important one is Buffalo Field Campaign. Every time the last remaining wild buffalo herd in Yellowstone National Park crosses the Yellowstone National Park boundary onto public lands, they're being quarantined, captured, and killed by the Montana Department of Livestock. Most people have no idea that this is even taking place, and it's absolutely a crime. It's a Native American issue. This is one of those things that if people found out, this would end tomorrow. And the most dedicated, passionate bunch of volunteers are on it 24/7, 365 days a year. Temperatures right now in Yellowstone, it's minus 20 Fahrenheit, and the Buffalo Field Campaign is up there all the time monitoring the situation, and I've never met a more dedicated bunch of people.
I've spent time in Yellowstone, and you're absolutely right. The plight of the buffalo, while they're in Yellowstone, they actually have a pretty good life. But as soon as, you say, they step over the line there, they become public enemy number one from many different people's perspectives. And unfortunately, it's just really not fair that they don't know where those lines are.
Right. They're basically, the buffalo are following their traditional migratory and summer foraging patterns and routes. And they travel these routes to give birth to their young in the spring. And when the winters get too rough in Yellowstone, they leave the park to find the grasses that they can eat. And the park boundary was not set up for them. All of this killing of the wild buffalo herd is being done for 200 domestic cows. There are so many alternatives. And there is probably 100 million acres of grassland ecosystem awaiting the return of the buffalo. There is no reason to be killing these animals. They can be, you know, transported to somewhere if they needed to be. It's an obscene crime, and the U.S. Forest Service is involved, the U.S. Park Service is involved, the Montana Department of Livestock is the key player. It's really, I'm astounded.
It's a very complex issue because, unfortunately, ranchers who have their livelihood up there have their own fears, but there's really no science to that. There's just it's fear-mongering to a large extent.
Yeah, the main fear is that the bison will give the cows brucellosis. There has never been a single documented case of a wild buffalo transmitting brucellosis to a cow.
Yeah.
So it really is just a fear-based campaign against wild animals, you know, national parks.
It somehow has to do with politics, and that's for another discussion. Let's continue on and talk more about what some of the other presentations are going to be.
Another film is called Surfer's Healing, and that's a fantastic look at a surfing camp for autistic children. Really touching, really valuable. And they are based in California, but they're expanding their programs all around the country and the world. And this just started out from a family whose child was affected with autism, and they saw that the waves and the water and being in the ocean could actually reach him. And it's just great to see this spreading.
Fascinating stuff, yeah.
Another film we have is called Owen Valley, Coming Back to Wildlife. This is a great story and a success story. In 1913, the city of Los Angeles built an aqueduct taking all the eastern Sierra snowmelt to the city 250 miles away. This in turn dried up the Owens River, and it dried up Owens Lake, which was the largest lake in California at one time. 96 some odd years later, the city has been forced to mitigate the dust that's created every time the wind blows out on the dry lake bed. The city of Los Angeles is violating the Clean Air Act 250 miles away from the city.
Fascinating.
So this year, they've been required to control the dust, and they've done so by letting some water flow back into the river, and they've set up a big irrigated system out on the lake bed with pipes and sprinklers, and it's working. It's keeping the dust down. Hundreds of thousands of migratory birds are returning on their annual trek from the southern hemisphere to Alaska and Canada. And the city was not doing this for the birds. They were doing this to keep the dust down and risk being fined $10,000 a day. But in turn, hundreds of thousands of birds are using this habitat, and it's an absolute success story. And the Owens Valley Committee in Lone Pine, California, is pretty much overseeing this whole success, and they are talking with the city to keep this going. The city can do whatever they want to keep the dust down. They could use gravel. They could stop the water flow at any time. Very interesting story and a success. So we went up there and filmed, and we're just trying to get the word out. This is probably the largest restoration project in North America, if not the world.
And yet it's unheard, and people aren't hearing anything about it. Thank you for helping to bring this story forward. That's fascinating.
Thanks.
Let's move forward some more here, and because this is really great stuff. Really great stuff, yeah.
Thanks. Pachamama Alliance is working in southern Ecuador to organize the indigenous people there. Chevron Texaco has taken $40 billion of oil out of northern Ecuador and left a toxic legacy behind. There's 260 toxic sludge waste pits. There's cancer and leukemia. The people have really suffered. And some of the largest pristine rainforest tracts left on Earth are southern Ecuador. And the Pachamama Alliance is working with the people there to stop what happened in northern Ecuador. And I should just say that 95% of the rainforest oil goes directly to California. And we're just trying to get the word out, let people know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I tell you about Planetary Coral Reef Foundation? Their goal is to restore the world's coral reef ecosystems by the year 2020.
They're going to have to hurry up.
I know. Ambitious and visionary, to say the least. But they deserve support. And there's a lot of organizations working. The oceans are in dire straits. I don't see anything in the mainstream media about these kind of things on a large scale. And we want to set up a presence full-time, 24/7, where people can learn, spread awareness, watch films, tell their friends, activate, organize, help.
Well, you know, we're talking with Michael Schoenfeld, who is the Community Outreach Director for Channel GTV, and that's exactly what the Wild Side News is all about. From a radio perspective, we just simply have to hit the mainstream with these messages because they're literally, our lives depend upon it. So I think your vision and mine are very similar. So that is the challenge. The public does want this. They're hungry for it. I know they are. They want the real stories. They want the truth. They want to reconnect with this earth and things that make sense. And yet, for some reason, the media, just for various reasons that we could go on probably for hours about, somehow cuts this out. How can people start to impact and make this change so that they can have access to this type of information? Because that really is what has to happen.
Yeah, I think I think what our job in the media is to bring it up to the level of easy access for all people. For people who have the ways and means, they can get on the internet and, you know, go to websites, find information. There's a wealth of information of what to do and how to help. But for the mainstream American public and maybe the world at large, it's not that easy. So, you know, we're based in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and for good reason. We're going to crack the media wall and make it attractive for the media companies at large to embrace the future. The future is restoration, and the future is healing this planet and our communities. And no one's an island, so I think as time goes on, everyone is starting to realize that.
There's two ways in which people can really learn more about Channel G. One is going to be to attend the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival. It's happening in Nevada City, California, January 12th through the 14th, in which case they can literally see your work product and these stories, and it's a great opportunity for you to spread your message and unite people who are involved in this. But then for people who want to learn more about Channel G itself, Michael, how should they do that?
You know, our website, www.channelg.tv. You can also watch all of these films on our website.
That's fabulous, and thank you for that. That's really a generous offering to the world.
Thank you. Appreciate your work, too. We're all, so many people, we're all doing the same thing, and it's spreading. And I just want to emphasize that we're focusing on the dedicated, passionate people who are doing this work, and their response has been amazing. We're never going to stop.
Well, Michael Schoenfeld with Channel G TV, I want to thank you so much for your work and as well for adding your voice here on the Wild Side News. I wish we had more time to talk, but that's kind of a wrap on this segment here. So thanks so much, Michael Schoenfeld.
Thanks so much, Wild Side News, and thanks, Sydney.
2007 is the beginning of a new age in nature and environmental awareness. You are making it happen. Thanks. This is Sydney Wildsmith saying adios. Until we meet again next week, or any time on the archives, when your voice of the earth helps create media that matters, here on the Wild Side News.